skills and stuff. Fantastic job. We are stoked to have Bowen come up our way here in a couple of weeks to our Fairborn singing that we're having in it here in a few weeks. And just fantastic job. All the song leaders here. I don't think I've ever heard a bad song leader as long as I've been coming here. And the singing is just beautiful. I can't help but think this is a little taste of heaven, what heaven's going to be like. Us singing the songs and praises to God and to his high and holy name, and with all those of light, precious faith, a beautiful, beautiful gospel singing. I appreciate that being led so very, very much. Appreciate Sister Christine and her daughter Lauren and opening their home to us this evening and preparing a great meal for us, myself and the Gravitz, and really, really appreciate that. I'm a loner tonight. My wife had some work duties that she had to attend to, so my whole crew should be here, Lord willing, tomorrow, and we're looking forward to having them with me and seeing everybody as well. You know, no doubt, to kind of give us a quick introduction here, no doubt we are all very aware of people who will absolutely worry themselves to death over all kinds of uncertainty in life. And sometimes we often find ourselves worrying over all kinds of things that may be taking place in our lives. Even while laying in bed at night, or maybe in the wee hours of the morning, we all have these aspects of our lives, different things, different scenarios, different situations that play out in our minds, that kind of swivel around in our minds, that causes us grief, that causes us anxiety, sometimes even as far as causing us depression. Now, at the end of the day, there's no lack of worrying in today's common society when you think about it. Look at some of our daily worries that we talk about. What's happening in the Middle East? You know, how is that going to affect our country? How is that going to affect our military? You know, the nation's economy. You can't help but turn on the news or open up the newspaper, get online and see something taking place with our nation's economy, it going in the tank, it building up a little bit. The list just goes on and on and on. The dreaded pink slip. Am I going to go to work? Is there going to be a pink slip on my desk? Is my boss going to call me into their office and say, hey, just to let you know, our company's taking a turn for the worse, and as a result, we have to make cuts, and unfortunately, your position is one of those. Well, you know what? I'm near retirement. Maybe not me per se. I've got a ways to go, but I'm near retirement. My 401k, my retirement package, whatever the case is it up to par? Well, will the economy be in the shape it is? My retirement isn't where it is. It looks like I'm going to have to work until I'm no longer upon the face of this earth. Missing mortgage payment. I worked in a bank for 3.5 years, and there would literally be people coming in. I worked especially around what they call the Great Recession, and we would have easily 2 to 3 people a week coming to the bank saying, I need help with my mortgage payment. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't know how I'm going to make the mortgage payment and put food on the table for my family. What can you do to help us out? And then we have personal worries. Worry about my family. I've noticed as a parent, very young parent still, I'm constantly on the worry escape. Where are my kids at? What are they doing? Are they getting into mischief? Are they getting into stuff that they ought not to be getting into? And oh my goodness, they were there 5 seconds ago and now they're not. Where are they at? And all the parents in this room here tonight know exactly what I'm talking about. Our job situation, our job status. You know, what does my company look like? Is our profits margins doing well? Or is work coming in? Is there workflow to be done? It's a constant worry because if there's not, oh boy, I want to stay away from my boss because I don't want that call into the office. I don't want that email stating that my job is no longer needed. And then our health. Constant worry about our health. Those that have aging parents, maybe grandparents, are constantly thinking about the health of those individuals. I've got one living grandparent left, and I worry about her all the time. And when my grandparents, all when they were sick, constant worry, the stress, the depression, the anxiety that not just puts upon that person that's ill, but upon the entire family, because you don't like to see your loved ones suffering as much as they do. There was a worrisome poll coming out that came out several years ago, and the number one question, there was a question asked a group of middle-aged Americans, what do you worry about the most? What is the common worry? What is the a top of the list worry that you have in your life right now? Commonality amongst us here today, we would say probably, well, my soul. You know, if I ever pass away, I want to leave this walk of life and I want to enter into heaven. A lot of people might say, well, my job situation, my family situation. You know what the answer was? My appearance. I might die in a car wreck. I might get blown up by a nuclear bomb or something. I don't know, but doggone it, I better be looking good when all that stuff happens, right? Kind of silly when you think about it, but that is what people's mentality is when it comes to a worrisome kind of state of mind or a worrisome kind of state of situation. And statistics don't lie, friends, when we look at it either. Over half of Americans who are in hospital beds today are constant worriers. Majority of them have their mindset, and they think, you know what, am I ever going to get out of this nursing home? Am I ever going to get out of this hospital? I don't want to be here anymore. I don't like the atmosphere. I don't like the food, whatever the case might be. So over half the Americans who are in hospital beds today consider themselves constant worriers. 43% of adults suffer health effects in some way, shape, or form due to worry or stress-related issues or circumstances in their life. That's a lot of people. That is a good amount of people. People that are just stressed almost to death because of health-related situations that are taking place. 75 to 90% of all visits to primary care physicians are directly related to stress or complaints of disorders. Mind-boggling, isn't it? So many people worry about so many things. Depression, anxiety, fear, all are caused by this never-ending act of worry. And so tonight, and Bowen cheated, looked on my Facebook today and knew what we were going to talk about, and that's okay, because he led some awesome songs that are directly going to pertain to how we can overcome this state of worry. And you'll know exactly what I'm talking about as we go along, because we will open to Matthew chapter 6 and read of how Jesus taught about how to overcome worry. Matthew chapter 6, let's begin with verse 25, and I'm reading from the Old King James Version, where he states here, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." Verse 30 states, "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Therefore," he says, "take no thought, saying, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, or whither all shall we be clothed? For after these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first," a common verse to us all, "but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." By the end of this lesson, I know many of you are going to say, "Yeah, Brock, easier said than done. I'm with you." But the whole goal of this is for us to be able to look at these tools and look at Jesus' teaching and get a better understanding, maybe in particular, of your own personal Christian life. Or if you're here tonight and not inside the body of Jesus Christ, maybe cause you to think soberly, maybe cause you to think righteously about becoming a Christian. And maybe your number one worry, maybe it was appearance or something along those lines, would be, you know what? I've got to get myself directly in shape with the Word of God. I've got to get my heart exactly where it needs to be so that if I were not to wake up tomorrow, if I don't make it the next couple minutes of this night, that I would be prepared to meet God. And I say this all the time in my sermons, friends. Don't wait for the invitation. If any particular point throughout the sermon tonight or any of my sermons, you feel convicted, you feel pricked in the heart, shut me up and get up here on the front seat and we will assist you with obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. But look at some of these verses. "Take no thought." Basically stating, don't be anxious. Don't worry. Don't worry about these things that for some reason is such a common worry in all of our lives. He says in verse 25, "Take no thought for your life." Don't worry about your life. Yet we all do, don't we? We all do. I'm 30 years old and I'm trying to take vitamins. I'm trying to take supplements. I'm trying to stay healthy, which is all good things. But then I'm also thinking about retirement. And so many of us think, well, I've got a vacation I got to pack for here in the next couple of months or prepare or save up for and stuff. Every day is a constant worry or a constant anxiousness about something, our job or the ladies of the building here tonight, or what am I going to feed my family? I've got to do this and that, but I got to go to work first. So there's constant angst. There's constant anxiousness that takes place in all of our lives. And the Bible here plainly, in more modern terms, says chill out for a little bit. You know, calm down for a little bit. Take no thought. Don't be anxious for your life. What you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, nor for your body, what you're going to put on. And we think, yeah, right. I got to look good tomorrow for work. I got to prepare Monday through Friday meals. And it's a constant worry. And even more down in the depths of that, people that are struggling in life. I've got to feed my family. I've got $5 in my checking account. How am I going to make this work? Truth be told, no lie. And, you know, Amber and I were a young married couple, and we knew everything, right? We were married in early 20s and stuff. And there was times we would go an entire week. I think the record that we held was like $7.85 from Monday, and we got paid on Friday. And we made it work. We found a way, and it makes you stronger. It makes you a stronger person, husband, and it makes you stronger within your marriage as well. Which of you who worry, he says in verse 27, which of you by taking thought or worry can add one cubit unto his stature? Look at verse 28. Why take ye thought? Why worry? You're a child of God. You have Christ on your side. What is there to worry about? As he says in verse 28, for the raiment, consider the lilies of the field. They use all these different analogies and different examples that we could talk about. We'll talk more about them as we go along. But it doesn't stop there. Look at verse 31. Therefore, take no thought. Don't worry what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink, whether you shall be clothed. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. And that's going to be kind of the stepping stone on tonight's lesson. And then it doesn't stop there in verse 34. Therefore, take no thought for the morrow, tomorrow. For the tomorrow is going to take thought, or is going to take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient of the day, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So look at Matthew 6:34. Very powerful verse. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. Basically stating tomorrow has its own troubles. Worry about what you can worry about, which are things right now, which are things that are taking place in your life right now. Trouble is basically stating adverse circumstances or different problems that might go through in your life or hardships that take place. Jesus here is basically stating today has enough trouble of its own. You've got enough on your plate right now, fellow Christians. You have enough going on in your life, followers of Jesus Christ. Worry about the things that you can worry about, which are things right now, which are things of today, because we cannot carry the past or the uncertainty of the future with us. We must deal with today. Think about it. I cannot control anything that I've done in my past. If we all could get in some kind of a time machine and go back in time and not make the silly or maybe ridiculous choices or decisions that we made, I believe every person's hand would be up and we'd all be racing the line to get in that time machine. But I can think of about a few different instances where I like to go back in time and say, Brock, don't do that. Don't say that. You know, stay away from that. Don't go in that direction. Don't make that choice. Don't make that decision. I cannot control the things of the future. I want to retire at 60 years old. And people say, yeah, right. You know, nowadays you're working into your mid-60s, early 70s. People sometimes working until their deathbed because the economy, one of those worries we talked about, is just that bad. I want to take a vacation in 6 months, and I want to take my family to Disney World. Can I do anything about that right now? I don't have the vacation time. I don't have my savings beefed up as much as I need to. So it's not happening right now, and I can't control that right now from what I want to do 6 months from now. But what I can do are things of today, because tomorrow's got enough problems. I must deal with me, and I must deal with me right now. Three different aspects we'll look at here. And we've already kind of touched basis on them, that Jesus says we can live in. Number one is, well, the past. Already gotten talking about it, right? There's nothing new. It's the old stuff. You've been over it time and time and time again. You've laid in your bed countless hours at night, maybe even all night, thinking, why couldn't I have done this? Or what if I had done that? Or maybe I should have said this. Or maybe I should have said that. If I only stayed away from that. Or if I had only done this. If I only done that. We constantly and continually dwell on those things that we cannot fix or go back or change. And Jesus did not design us as human beings to live in the past. That's not what we are made to do. Rather, when we obey Jesus Christ, when we put on Jesus Christ, Galatians 3:27, and all of our sins are wiped clean, Acts chapter 2 and in verse 38, the Bible says, our sins are wiped clean. The past is exactly where it's at, the past. God doesn't care about the mistakes you've made in your past. God doesn't care about the silly decisions or choices that you've made in your past. He wants you to start then. He wants you to start now and move forward, pressing toward the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And be thou faithful until death, Revelations 2:10, and receive that crown of life. That's how we were designed. But don't let modern day society tell you that. And don't let sometimes, I hate to say this, but I'm going to, don't let some members of the church tell you that. It's happened to me before. Hey, Brock, remember a few years ago when you said such and such, so and so? Yeah, you know, but I made that right. That ever happened to you before? Maybe somebody throwing something in your face. Maybe you feel good about yourself, that weight, that monkey's lifted off your shoulder, and then you turn to somebody that you trust, that you think loves you and cares about you and embraces you, and you just get one big old spiritual smack in the face. It happens. But we cannot live in the past. We're not designed to do it as Christians. The present. Now we're getting closer, right? Up to the minute. What is happening right here? What is happening right now? God allows you to live that life because it's here. We're here now. We make preparations for the future, and we'll talk about that in a second. We have no promise of the future. I have no promise to see my family ever again for the rest of my life, let alone theirs. I hope to, and I'm going to make preparations too when I go home this evening, Lord willing, but I have no promise of that, and none of us do. Up to the minute things of what's happening right now. Things that you and I all can control. And then the future. The future events that we make up. The vacations, the retirements, the wanting to buy a new car, wanting to buy a house. The list goes on and on and on. All of the doom and gloom all of a sudden too that we start making up. Well, I want to retire in such and such time, but man, it's not looking good. And oh, I'm going to have to work till much later than that. And things are just not going my way, and I just wanted to be able to do this and that, and it's not going to happen because this event's taking place and that event's. We all say that stuff, right? We all live that life, it seems like, from time to time. The area that most people find themselves living in today is futuristic type things. And we can maybe make an argument about that, future or past. But what causes the most worry and the most fear is future. Do I have enough saved up for my kid's college? Will my kids go to college? Will they get a good job? Will they find a significant other that they can raise children in the church, that they can have a strong bond and a strong marriage in the Lord's church, that they can utilize Jesus Christ and allow him to be the centerfold in their life? I could go on and on and on. My oldest is 5. I got a long way to go, don't I? You know, so we constantly find ourselves living in the future for so many different areas and aspects of our lives. More is Christ's teaching on worry. You know, when you think about worrying, basically means to choke. Spiritually choke, when you think about it. Because worry strangles you to where you have no joy, where you have no peace, and your soul starts to hyperventilate because of worrying, doesn't it? I don't know how many times people have said, Brock, enjoy your kids now. Some of you in the audience here tonight have told me the exact same thing. My little boy's 5, my little girl's almost 2, and people say, enjoy your children now while you can, because you're going to wake up one day, and they're going to be as old as you, and you're going to be as old as your grandparents and stuff like that, you know? And it's true. Yesterday, it seems like I was playing G.I. Joes and Nerf guns and stuff like that, you know, and no longer am. And so when I constantly am worrying about my children and my little boy's health issues that so many of you know about and stuff like that, you know, and where's my little girl at? She was right there 5 seconds ago, and now she's not. When I'm constantly worrying about those things, I can't just exhale. And I can't just enjoy my children, enjoy my family. My wife and I have had a long talk about that recently. You know, sometimes we just need to breathe a little bit, let them be children, still raise them up in the nurture and admonition of Jesus Christ, but let them be children. They're going to get into the pots and pans. They're going to get bumps and bruises and boo-boos, and we can't lock them in a basement and put pillows all around them so they won't, you know, hurt themselves or anything. We have to let them be children. And so when we constantly worry about those things, we can't enjoy our life. We can't enjoy those that are around us presently. I'm not talking about those in the past. I'm not talking about the friends of the future, maybe grandchildren. And it's weird for me to say that. You know, I'm talking about the present moment, the things that I do have control over that Jesus has blessed me with. As I said, I might never see my family again. But the times that I do get to be around them, I need to enjoy them. Fear, to scare away. You think about when we fear something, we're afraid of it to the point where we stay away from it. Now, this is not the same fear, according to Ecclesiastes 12:13, which is to fear God and keep his commands, where we give God the ultimate respect. But at the same time, to fear in modern day times, what we use in the English language, if we're afraid of something, we stay away from the heights. We stay away from the bugs or the insects or the slimy things or whatever the case is, you know. Fear will only lead you to away from something, from what you need to be focusing on. You ever heard somebody say, I'm afraid to be a Christian? Oh, I have. Somebody in my own family comes to the top of my head, I think about, I can't do that, man. I just, that lifestyle, I know I need to do it, but I'm afraid I can't do it. Is that one of maybe some of us here tonight, where you feel like you're so afraid, you worry yourself to death. I know what state of situation I'm in. I know what would happen to me right now if I passed away, if I died tonight. I just can't do anything about it. I'm too afraid. I'm too scared. I worry too much. But worry, fear, anxiety are against the very mechanics of how we are to operate and function as a Christian. It's not our intended purpose. God did not design us to worry, to have this depression and anxiety and stuff within our own personal lives. Think about it. If you go and put sugar in a gas can right now, do you think it's going to run? Or in a car engine? No. It's not going to run very well at all, right? Put a virus on a computer. Yeah, you might be able to start it up, but it's going to eventually crumble. It's eventually not going to work. It's eventually going to slow down to the point it just won't turn on, period. A virus isn't made for a computer. Sugar is not made for the gasoline tanks and stuff like that. Worry is not made for the Christian. And depression and anxiety. And I know people are looking at me right now saying, Brock, you have no idea what I'm going through in my life right now. You have no clue how I'm feeling right now. And you are probably right. And I could probably say the same thing from things that are going on in my life. But the fact of the matter is, we all are faced with these things. We're all, this is a silly analogy, but we're all dealt different hands of cards, if you will, of life, given different things of life. And it's up to us to see what we do with those to make our life what it is. And God has given that to you today. Not so much maybe then, maybe not so much in the future, but he's given it to you right now. And we got to take advantage of that. Christ's bottom line, when you think about it, is if we are ever going to free ourselves from worrying or maybe depression or anxiety, whatever the case might be, we must realize that we cannot control the future. Jesus taught us to be anxious for nothing. Worry not. Take no thought is what I was trying to think of. Take no thought. Don't be anxious. Don't worry about certain things. Stop worrying about the things of tomorrow and concentrate on your life, and more in particular, your Christian life today. We've all got to do it. I want so badly some people, some close friends of mine, some family members of mine that know right from wrong spiritually to obey the gospel. I want so badly for them to obey Christ, to put on Christ, and just, there's members of my family I know that could do so much good work for the cause of Jesus Christ. And I need to work on them now while I can. We all must work on those individuals now while we can, and work on ourselves as well. We've got to concentrate on life today. Worry causes us to fear the things that we cannot control and stops us from doing the things that we can do today to prepare for a better tomorrow. Yeah, you know what? I do want to take my family to Disney World in December, and while I don't have the money to do it right now, I can be in constant worry for the next handful of 6, 7, 8 months or so, or every paycheck from here to December, I can start putting back $50, $100, whatever the case is. And come December, I might have enough money, according to my calculations, to put me and my all four members of my family to Disney World. I can prepare now. You know what? I have a goal of retiring at 62 years old. But, you know, my retirement account's looking a little bleak right now, and I just don't think it's going to happen. But I can maybe start, you know, mixing and matching stocks, or maybe, you know, put a little bit more money in my 401k or in my TSP accounts or thrift saving plans, whatever they're called. I can make those preparations now. And then when I get a little bit closer to 62, well, I'll take a look at the portfolio and see what it looks like. From a Christian standpoint, from a humanistic standpoint, yeah, I want to be a Christian someday, and man, I just got to get A, B, C, and D in order in my life, and once I start checking off the boxes and getting these things organized and getting these things situated and change my lifestyle a little bit and stuff, then I'll obey Jesus. Then I'll obey the gospel plan of salvation. Then I'm going to be a strong Christian, and I'm going to be the strongest Christian anybody has ever seen before. I'm just not going to do it today. We're going to do a lesson here in a couple days called Someday, and it's going to go in relationship to that exact same phrase that I just gotten talking about. So we've got to think about the things today, or from that in connection with that same storyline, or I can obey Christ tonight, right now, before 8:30 or when the first lesson gets done. You know, I can obey Jesus now, and as life goes along and as the days go along, I can lean on my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. I can pray to God that he would help me change my lifestyle. I can pray that God would see me a favorable servant of him and give me the things and utilize the tools and resources that are necessary for me to sustain this life and to be a strong Christian. I can do that now. I can do that today because God's promised me today. God's maybe not promised, but given me today. And that's Christ's bottom line. We got to understand, cannot control the future. No matter how hard we try, worrying chokes the ability to properly prepare for the future. I get to December and all of a sudden I look at my account and, oh my goodness, I didn't save enough. And I start panicking, I start worrying. Maybe come Judgment Day, all those times that God gave me, chance after chance, opportunity after opportunity, and now I'm worried because I'm outside of the body of Christ and I just heard those trumpet of the angels sound, and now it's too late. So it chokes the ability to properly prepare for the future. As this lesson goes along, do you see what I'm talking about of how we as human beings, and more in particular as Christians, were not designed to be warriors? We cannot control the future of certain aspects. I want to look at this right now. We cannot. We got to accept these things because we just can't. I cannot control the future of my health. I may get cancer. I might have a heart attack. I might get diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. I might die in a car accident. The list goes on and on and on of the various things that might happen to me in my life. But no matter how sad the instance, I cannot control it. Worrying causes me not to eat right, maybe not to take proper vitamins, proper supplements. And one day I look in the mirror and I just see that my health is not where it needs to be. I cannot control my family. I just got done saying a little bit ago how badly members of my family that were under my knew the teachings of both of my grandparents, my grandfathers are ministers for 50-some plus years, the both of them, and they know right from wrong, and they could do so much awesome work in the Lord's church. And no doubt many of you have family members that come to the forefront of your minds as well. But no matter how much I worry about them, I cannot control that. Your child may rebel. Your child may leave God and live the life like the prodigal son. Your spouse may decide that the marriage is no longer for them and they want out. But I can raise my children right today. I can love my spouse the way that God intends me to today. If I don't have one, if I maybe don't have a spouse per se, I can love my children the way that God has intended me to love them today. I can be an encourager. I can uplift. I can edify to the most holy faith all of my fellow brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ that I know lean heavily upon me to make it their Christian life successful. I can do that. I can pray for them. I can be there for them. I can go out to dinner with them. We can call each other on the phone, send an email, whatever the case might be, and I can do all that today. Think about these things. So many different things we take for granted, and I know I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I had no idea, and my wife will attest to this and say the exact same thing. I always thought that one of the happiest days of my life was my wedding day, and it was, don't get me wrong, but I had no idea the love that was in my heart until I first laid eyes on my child. And then when my little girl came along, it was all over. You have no idea the responsibility sometimes, the things you take for granted, and knowing that those, in my case, these two little infants, these two little human beings are depending on me to not just give them the proper nutrients, to not just give them the proper vitamins and things that they need to sustain life from a physical standpoint, but also from a spiritual standpoint. I don't know how many times I've talked to people and say, what'd you do to raise your kids? I need to take notes. Those are great kids. I think of, and I hope I'm not putting anybody on the spot, I think about the Craig family, the Steele family, all these families that are in here tonight, the Tiptons, and everybody that's raised their boys and girls the right way. And my hat's off to you. And I hope and pray God gives me the strength to do the exact same thing. We still cannot control the future of my finances. I might never retire. My 401k may tank. The stock market may tumble. But I can put a little bit more money aside and say no to maybe some of the luxury things, the materialistic things that I really, really want right now. Put some money aside, maybe grow a little bit, and we'll see what happens. And I can start doing those things today. I can't control my environment. We live in a very sin-filled world, and guess what, friends? It's not getting any better. And in fact, it's getting worse. And it's according to what God's Word says in times of waxing worse and worse. You know, we play the Democrat game, the Republican game, the Tea Party game, and, oh, I'm going to take our country in a better direction, a better future. Well, you know what? No matter who it is, the future is getting away from God, and there's no candidate right now that I've seen in the past several years that's going to bring us any closer to God. 17th or 18th state, if I'm not mistaken, just adopted gay marriage, and guess what? It's going to be in the Ohio ballot here before too long. And before the next decade is up, it's going to be in all 50 states. And you are going to be laughed at, ridiculed, mocked, and beaten down to death with words if you don't accept it. Unfortunately. Cannot control the environment. The solicitation of sin, I talked about it yesterday, is on our phones, on the computer, on the television. You can access pornography with the drop of a button on your smartphones or on your computers, or it's on television anymore. Ridiculous. But I can choose to trust God. I cannot control the past. Things are what they are in the future. But today I can trust God, to trust in His strength and to be victorious in Him. And that once I leave this walk of life, you ever have a down day? Revelations 21:4, if I'm not mistaken, 22:4. No tears, no sorrows, no pain, no crying. We have such a hard time with that verse, I think, because we can't fathom it. We live in a world today that's full of sorrow, full of crying, full of tears, full of heartache, full of death. And it's so difficult for us to understand that and to access that in our minds and in our hearts, that there is such a place, and I can prepare to go there, and I can get rid of all this stuff. And when somebody dies in Jesus Christ, maybe my view of death is just a little skewed. I don't know. But even my own grandparents, if they didn't make it to heaven, I don't know who will. Even my own grandparents at those funerals and stuff, I maybe shed a couple tears. Because to me, it was a rejoicing day. Hey, they get away from this stuff. And I've not had my last conversation with my grandfathers. I've not had my last conversation with my grandmother or with all those of like precious faith that have lived upon the face of this earth and won. I've not had my last embrace. I've not had my last conversation. And I rejoice in that. I thank God for them, for their example that they all left behind. And they don't have to put up with this stuff anymore. Kind of jealous, aren't you? Maybe just a little bit. The problems with worry. Worry keeps us from doing what and who we can be today. Depression. You ever see somebody that, maybe some of us, I don't know. I've lived with depression. Depression runs in my family. You know, especially when it's negative 40 degrees outside in the early January and you're thinking, my goodness, I'd just like to get some sun or something, you know? Depression runs in my family, and you know that there's something different about a person when they have this constant worriness, when they have this constant depression, when you have that constant anxiety, and you just go up and say, are you okay? Because I know you're not you. Something's going on. And so 9.9 times out of 10, that's something that's going on, is that there's been an event or a situation take place in their life that's caused that grief, that's caused that trial or tribulation, that's caused that worrisome feeling. And so it doesn't allow us to be who we are, who God intended us to be. And that's why I said there's no room in our lives for worry or even depression. We can be godly in this immortal climate. We can pray. We can be kind to every person around us, and we can be every bit of the kind of person that God wants us to be, but worrying, which again, I want to continue to emphasize, leads to depression, leads to anxiety, all these different things, chokes us from that. We cannot be the utmost Christian that God intended us to be. We cannot be a follower of God as much as we want or should or could be. It chokes us from that and causes us to lose that spiritual energy and effort from living a Christian life. I know so many of us in this room here tonight are going through aches, physical pains, emotional turmoil, grief, sadness, heartache, depression, anxiety. I know so many of us are. And maybe that's why so many people might look at me after services and say, man, you're kind of a spaz up there in the pulpit. You know, you got all this energy and flailing around, walking around. I do that because I know people lack energy. And the church needs more energy. I'm not saying I'm the cure-all, trust me. But we need to energize each other to live this Christian life. We need to energize each other and make each other understand just how blessed of a people that we are for being a child of God. No matter what any of us are going through, all of us, every single one of us, blessed to be a child of God. And let that put a smile on your face here tonight. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, along the same lines of Matthew 6, it says, be careful. Or be anxious or worry for nothing, but in everything by prayer. Don't worry, don't be depressed, don't be thinking about tomorrow, don't be thinking about the past, but in everything that you do in this life, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. I told this congregation just yesterday, driving in on 675, headed to Wright Patterson Air Force Base. I do it quite frequently, turn my radio off. I'm obviously focused on where I'm driving, so I don't think I'm a lunatic driver or anything. But I turn my radio off, and I'll just sit there and have a conversation with God like he's sitting right there in the passenger seat, like I know he's my creator, like I'm here because of you, because of him. And I want to say thank you for my wife, for my children, for my job that I'm driving into, for the blessing of being able to be called your child, for the blessing to be able to have a place I can worship God in spirit and truth. And the list goes on and on and on and on and on. No matter what any of us are going through. Paul here makes a protective statement for all of us. He's simply saying if you worry, you are liable to end up hurting yourself. Especially spiritually. Rather than worry, turn your attention to God and let him handle your worries and cares of this world. We will never live in a perfect world. We all have that dream in our mind, don't we? You know, I'm gonna get my education, I'm gonna get a great job, I'm gonna get married, have kids, I'm gonna retire at 30 years, I'm gonna go travel with my significant other, whatever the case is. We always have those pictures in our minds, but it will never live in a perfect world. Humans were not made for war. I know I keep stressing that, so maybe I'm not doing a good job following my notes here or not, but the only certainty of life, I love this quote, the only certainty of life is that we will face uncertainty. That's pretty, you know, put the punctuation mark on it because that's pretty set in stone. The only certainty of life is that you're going to face uncertainty. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't know you're going to take that vacation in a few months. You don't know any of those things. But you do know now because you do have now. We will never, you think about it, we'll never have it all together. I revert back to the sinner that says, well, I've got to change a couple aspects of my life. I've got to get a couple things in order, and then I get it all together, and I'm going to ready to obey the gospel and be a strong Christian soldier for the cause of Christ. It'll never work that way. There will always be issues. I don't know if I was talking to Gravitz or who the other day, but talking about how does the honey-do list ever run out, or does the to-do list ever stop? No. It will never end. There will always be family problems, always be family situations, people problems, always going to be financial problems. Go make $1 million a year, you're going to have financial problems. Go win the lottery, I forget what the statistic was, I think it was like 70-80% of the people that played the lottery and won wish they never had played it. You know? And I'm not, you know, saying go play the lottery, don't get me wrong, you know, I'm not about gambling or anything of that nature. But, you know, there's always going to be financial situations. There's always going to be burdens. There's always going to be crises and things. I mean, America, think about America. We are bracing for the next terrorist attack. You know, we know there's probably going to be another one happen at some point in time, and we're bracing for it. You know, I work on the C-17 cargo jet, and we're always trying to put modifications on the craft to make it as strong as it can be to carry cargo to the troops and all over the world and stuff like that. Always modifications coming in, engineers saying, hey, I need to put this on the airplane. Give me some money to do it, you know. So stuff like that and situations like that happen all the time. And we will never live in a perfect world, friends. Matthew 8, beginning in verse 23 states, "And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him." We'll look at this storyline, a couple more slides, and the lesson will be yours here tonight. "When he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. Behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he," Jesus, "was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, 'Lord, save us, we perish.' And he said unto them, 'Why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith?' Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm." Jesus knew that this great storm was taking place. He knew it was going to happen. He's the Son of God. Christ's overall message here to these disciples were, where's your faith at? Why are you worrying? You know, sing and be happy. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why are you trembling? Why are you so fearful, O you of little faith? So all of us here tonight that are worriers, worrying literally maybe even ourselves to death, that question is posed to you. That question is posed to me. Why do I worry? You know, my kid was there 5 seconds ago. I'm sure if it's the Lord's will, she's alive somewhere in the house, you know. Why do we worry? Where is our faith? When we go through hardships, or something in our life is on the line, or great storms of life are upon us, does your faith go in hiding? Do you just constantly worry yourself to death and, "Oh, Lord, we're going to perish. Lord, why aren't you going to save us? Lord, where are you? Why aren't you answering my prayer? Why aren't you giving me direction? Why aren't you giving me purpose?" Or do we need to maybe chill out? As I said, modern terms, what we'd probably use Matthew 6 about. Take a chill pill and say, "God, it's up to you. I might not understand it. I might go my entire life questioning certain events or aspects of my life. But one thing is for certain that I cannot do is worry about those decisions and actions in my life. Because I serve an almighty God who is the creator of the heavens and the earth, who is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, who is the ultimate judge, who loves me, who cares about me, and wants to see me succeed on this walk of life. You're wanted. You're precious. You're the love of God's heart. Every single one of us are here tonight. We need to understand that God allows us to go through these storms of life to learn by them, but he's never going to let us drown. These disciples thought they were going to perish. These disciples thought, "Lord, we're going to perish. We're going to die, God, and here or Christ, and here you are sleeping." And I can almost picture, use my illustrative mind, and think Jesus is waking up and saying, why are you so fearful, oh you of little faith? What is your problem? Why are you worrying? How often does Christ ask us, why are you so fearful, oh you of little faith? Do I have faith? Do I believe that God has my best interests at heart? Am I going to trust God? And in the midst of uncertainty, in the midst of the trial, do I cry out, "Lord, save me"? Or do I go into hiding? Or do I perish? Or do I wave the white flag and say, "I'm done. God clearly doesn't like me. God clearly wants nothing to do with me. Forget this." Where is your faith here tonight? In the midst of a storm, friends, I want to encourage you all to turn to God. Mark chapter 4 and verse 38 talks about that, where they turn to Christ to save them. Psalms chapter 116, in a couple verses there, it says, "I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live." Have that mentality in your minds. Etch that on your hearts here tonight. And if you get nothing else out of this lesson, highlight in your Bibles or write down in your smartphones, meditate on this verse for the rest of this week, month, year, your life. That I'm going to call upon God as long as I live, with all the hardships, with all the aches, with all the pains, with all the worriness that takes place in my life, I'm going to call upon the Lord and he will deliver me. God is waiting for us to cast his cares upon him. And so we ask then, why do we worry? 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4 says, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises." He's promised you a lot of great things. And there's also things in life that we go through, we think, where are these promises at? That he hasn't promised us. But one thing he has promised us is he'll never leave us, he'll never forsake us, and he'll never allow us to go through something that we cannot handle and that we cannot get out of. Doesn't mean we still won't have questions, but we can make it. and we will make it when we turn to Jesus Christ. So things about this, things to think about, that I trust God that will meet my needs. I trust that God loves me and He cares about me. I trust that God has numbered my days, Psalms chapter 90 and in verse 12. And realizing that, I've got to make things right and preparations now while I can. I trust that putting my confidence in God and His kingdom is the best way to defeat worry. Seeking God first in all areas and in all aspects of my life. And in Matthew 6:34, I trust that God will take care of tomorrow, because tomorrow has its own issues and own set of problems. Live today to be the best person that God has called you to be. And in closing, casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. A rock solid statement that God will always take care of His faithful followers. And so we ask you here tonight, do you seek the peace of God in your life? If you're here tonight and not a Christian, do you want Jesus Christ dwelling in your life? Do you want to be called a Christian? Do you want to be a child of God? Obey His plan of salvation, which we've talked about briefly here tonight, and live faithful until death. Friends, the plan of salvation, I apologize for going over a few minutes here tonight, but the plan of salvation is on our board and on our screen here tonight. We have to hear the gospel preached, which we have here tonight. We got to have faith in Jesus Christ. We have to repent of our sins, confess Him to be the Son of God, and then be buried in the watery grave of baptism for the remission of our sins. As we quoted already, Revelation chapter 2, and towards the end of part of verse 10, it says, "Be thou faithful until death, and I will give you a crown of life." Friends, worry about today. Think about yourself today. If you're in the audience here tonight and are a Christian, maybe you're a worrier, maybe you're suffering from angst or depression or anxiety, whatever the case might be, stop being a worrier. Allow God, let go and let God. I've heard that many, many times throughout my life. Let God take control of your life. Let God steer you in the right direction. Let God give you purpose and let God give you meaning. We appreciate you all so much. We love you all so very, very much. If we can assist you in any way, please come forward while together we stand and sing praises to God at this time.
It won't be very long till this short life shall end. It won't be very long till Jesus shall descend.
Matchless friend.